Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Learn to Bet Resource Podcast. This is show 119, and I'm pumped you're here today because today we are joined by Ernesto and Barbara from Kulari and Wardell Ad Agency, and we're talking geofencing. And I got to be honest with you, when they reached out to me, I was like, I don't know, geofencing. But they started telling me about what they do and more impressively, who they're doing it for right now. And they're going to drop some names that you're going to recognize here. Previous podcast guests, legitimate legends of this industry, are using Kulari and Wardell for their geofencing, ad targeting. Man, this is impressive. This is a deep dive that we go into. There's a lot of practical strategies that we go through today with them and stuff that you can use whether you use them or not. And that was my criteria. Hey, come on the podcast, but you've got to give us some stuff that laundromat owners can use whether they use you or not. And they deliver. It is an amazing interview. Not only that, they have agreed to do a live Q&A, and that'll be free for us. You'll get more information on that. But just to give you the dates in case you want to mark your calendar, it's going to be July 20th at 1 p.m. Eastern, which is 10 a.m. Pacific time. 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern on July 20th. We're going to do a live Q&A. Should be a ton of fun and a lot of just good information. So listen to this episode and get pumped. Write down your questions and then join us with that live Q&A. And then also the other thing that I'm super pumped about is I think if you own a laundromat or you're looking to get one, you're going to probably want to work with them. And they have offered for the pro community, Laundromat Resource Pro community, $300 off their initial services if you are a pro community member. So go check them out at cwadagency.com. And that link will be in the show notes, which is at laundromatresource.com/show119. Or if you're on YouTube, down below, make sure you hit subscribe and the like button and leave a comment and all that stuff. But $300 off if you are in the pro community there. So that's just another, we're well over $3,000 worth of pro perks for being a pro community member. So check out the rest of the pro perks at laundromatresource.com/pro. And if you're thinking about using these guys, it's worth it to go join the pro community, get all the benefits from being a part of the pro community plus $300 off their services. So without further ado, join us for the Q&A. Go join the pro community so you can get that $300 off. But let's jump into it with Ernesto and Barbara because that will convince you of the power of geofencing for your laundromat. Let's jump into it right now. Ernesto and Barbara, I'm very excited. Thank you guys for taking the time to come on the podcast. But when you guys jumped on camera, I was like, oh my gosh, this is official. I was blown away. You guys are like in a studio. If you're listening to this on the podcast and not watching this, you may want to go watch this because number one, their studio looks awesome. And number two, you guys look great too. So thanks for coming on the show. How you guys doing?
Good, Jordan.
Doing great today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. And I know we've been kind of going back and forth for a little bit to get you on the show. And the day is finally here. So I'm very excited. Why don't you give us a little bit of a background of who you guys are, and then I want to kind of get into how did you get from where you were to here advertising, you know, for laundromats of all things.
Okay. Well, Barbara and I have a very similar background. We were both at one time medical reps. I was a OR operating room sales rep.
And I did specialty medicines.
And my dream was never have a real job, right? So when you're a med rep, you got to get the surgery on time. Barbara, you know, the same. She had to get the doctor's offices. And it was sort of our dream to be independent, you know, not to really work for anyone. And around 2012, I ran for U.S. Congress, and Charles Measley from Fluffenfold and Sudge Digital. Actually, it was his fault. He talked me into running for Congress. And, you know, we started doing...
Classic Charles.
Oh. Yep. Always getting me to do crazy stuff. So we were running Facebook ads for political, you know, for my congressional run. And at the time, we also needed to do headshots. So I was not a photographer at all. So if people look into our company now... You know, you'll see that we've shot for the Soup Nazi from Seinfeld. We've, you know, done their TV commercials. But we needed a camera in 2012. So we buy this camera, I didn't like anyone's headshot. So I'm like, set up the camera. I'm like, here, take my headshot like this. And then poof, overnight, I lost my congressional race, but I became a very well-known photographer. And that's how I got into digital, Charles Measley, Congress. So here we are. And then Kaleri Media, we started about 7 years ago. And we, you know, we're heavy in the makeup industry, cosmetics, food and hotels. And then last year, Barbara and I decided that we wanted to focus exclusively on laundromats. And in that, geofencing for laundromats. And again, Charles is like, there's this big need in the industry to drive in-store visits. And he's like, you need to learn this technology, geofencing, because if you can, one, it's going to change our industry, and two, I'll introduce you to everybody. So, of course, you know, he introduced me to Peter Mayberry, Luke and Lee Williford. We now have, like, a Joe, Dan Reed, and Kelly.
And we have Michael Jones, which you
Michael Jones, who was a guest
on Jones, another all-star of the podcast.
All-star. He's a great guy.
You know, Dan Campbell and Mark Taylor. You know, I'm sure we're going to miss a lot of people, but, you know, we met a lot of great people. These are a lot of our customers that we have. And what I love most about laundry is that, like people like yourself, people like us, we wanted to do our own thing. And the laundromat industry is filled with people like that.
And the very good work, very good people. Really, really, we've been embraced by them. And I have to say, with our backgrounds being in the medical industry, we love helping people. So this was something that I immediately just fell in love with, that we could take small business and help them grow like the bigger business technology that they have, and we could bring it to small businesses. And I was just in love with it. It was just amazing technology to look at and to learn. I was actually going to open up three laundromats. So
I talked her out of it.
He saved me.
Originally, she was going to go to the boot camp that the Williford brothers were putting on.
Yes.
I was like, Barbara, if you're gonna get in the laundry industry, you got to learn from these guys. And I was like, I'm going to go and be a speaker. You can go as my guest. And then just the more we talked about it, I was like, no, you need to help me run my company. We need to start our own company together. And you need to help me run this right, because I could do all the technical and creative stuff, but I'm an idiot, like, when it comes to running a company. So that's actually how we ended up teaming up.
Yeah, because I have that background as well. I had a couple companies with my ex-husband. And so it was a great combination between both of us. We loved it.
How funny. Okay, so the birth of this company came out of the death of the dream of three laundromats.
You never know.
That's right. That's right.
It's very possible that we would open up.
I've learned so much about the business. It's amazing. I'd
feel bad for all the other laundromats, though. It's not fair. Technologically, it just wouldn't be fair.
That's the kind of confidence I like. Yeah.
We have like this. What we're doing right now is like alien technology. We'll get more into the nitty gritty of what the technology can do and what we've been able to do with it. I sent you an email yesterday of like some assets that we sent over. It's just like it's cutting edge to the fact that it's as of yesterday we took on two new capabilities. So.
It's just amazing. As we grow, the more technology grows, and it's exciting. It really is exciting to bring this to small businesses, especially laundromats, to make them grow in a time like this. Warms my heart.
Yeah, insane stuff that we're going to talk about. And, you know, I've looked through all the stuff that you sent, so I'm really excited to get through, start talking about some of the nitty gritty stuff. But I know that the people listening to this, as they mention, some of your client, you mentioned some of your client list, and some of the just real heavy hitters in the industry, that ears are perking up here, and you've got my attention. Hopefully you've got a lot of people's attention here on this podcast.
I have to mention Ross Dodds or we'll be in trouble. Sorry.
Yeah.
When you said like you have all these, I was like, wait, If we don't mention Ross, we'll probably, and Russell, we'll probably get in trouble. So
yeah,
and we love them to death.
They're great.
Yeah, so. In fact, if you would have missed them, you probably would have had to send them like a case of wine or something.
Yeah,
over there,
he would have accepted.
Yeah, I know. I would have. That's it's easy to smooth things over with Ross if you can if you can send him wine. So that's the one good side. Nope. No, yeah, I mean, listen, that is like the who's who in this industry that you guys are representing there. And so I'm super excited to hear what it is that you guys are actually doing for these customers and how that works and what some of the results are. And I'm super excited to hear about what some of the new capabilities that are coming out right now. You know, we talk about whenever marketing comes up or social media or anything like that, inevitably somebody says, man, things are changing all the time, or man, things changed pretty dramatically and we had to shift, or we got left behind, you know, whatever, like things change all the time. So hearing, you know, new stuff that's come out as of like yesterday, even, I can't wait to hear that too. So let's start with, what exactly do you guys do? What are you guys doing?
So geofencing, which is our passion, our business, uses the special relationship between smart devices and satellites. And with the satellite, there are three GPS satellites that we have access to. We're able to take them and task them to draw a virtual fence around any location. So once we draw a fence around a location, we can measure, we can then send ads out and measure smartphone devices that enter that fence. So in short, geofencing is the ability to draw precise fences around a building and then target those people with ads that enter that building. So say, for example, all your competitors in a given region, and then send ads to their smart devices. And then when they see your ad, their device is captured. It's anonymized, meaning we protect the privacy of the smartphone user. But we could draw certain inferences based on your location. So if you're in a competitor laundromat, it's fair to say that if we offer you a better opportunity, a better service down the street, it's more likely you'll come to one of our stores. And then when you do, the satellite pings us, alerting us that a new visit has taken place.
And it's all satellite verified. So those are the reports.
Yeah. Well, and that's pretty incredible. You know, it's one thing to be able to target a specific area, which is incredible in and of itself. But then it's another thing to be able to follow that basically and determine that they've actually come to your location after the fact, which is, that's a game changer, I think.
It really is. We've done over 5,000 satellite verified in-store visits for our clients across the country. So yeah, we're excited.
So that's where we are now. Today, we're delivering 5,000 satellite verified visits just to laundromats every month. You know, we're not a big company. It's just me and Barbara. So yeah,
we have a team, but right. We, you know, we're in the trenches. We work really hard with our clients and their ad spend money, and we make sure that they're getting the value. And that's very important. We don't outsource it. We're right in the trenches, making sure that their ads are where they're supposed to be and getting the results in front of the people.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome. Okay, so geofencing, just to kind of sum it up, is basically drawing an invisible fence around a location or multiple locations to target ads for, right?
Yeah, yes. Kind of like, you know, a visible invisible fence for dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like that. Where they come instead, you want them to come in, not keep them out. But yeah, that's the premise. If you want something to kind of visualize.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. So can you talk to me a little bit about, you know, what are some of the strategies that you guys are using with geofencing that you're finding good results from? Because, I mean, you know, you throw out 5,000, you know, satellite visits a month, right? Well, I start translating that to, you know, money in the bank for my laundromat, and that becomes very attractive.
And it compounds every month.
Yeah, so what...
We joke all the time that if someone were to buy me an Escalade, because Barbara has a nice car and I drive a Honda, I was like, if someone were to buy me an Escalade every month, that would more or less be a good investment on their part. we're making them a lot of money. So our method is a little different, Jordan. We do foot traffic studies first. So it's important, even if you're not using geofencing as a technique and a tactic and an advertising method, say you want to do every door direct or something like that, or even Facebook ads, understanding where your business comes from and understanding where your competitors get their business.
So important.
It is. So we use satellites first to run a foot traffic study. And we do it for all of our clients, and we look at their competition. And we also look at their core business and where their core business is coming from. That way we know where to spend their ad dollars. So if we look at an overlay, satellite overlay, where all these mobile devices are coming from that are entering your store, if we see a pocket, say there's like a highway that should be delivering you people and they're not, then we know like, hey, we have a weakness here. Here's a major highway that leads right to your business and you're not getting any customers from this area.
And you should be. So that's where we come in.
And a mobile device foot traffic study will tell you that. So right off the bat, our methodology is a little different. We go in and we get an overview of where business is a half hour before they get to your store and a half hour after. And we can know with great accuracy over the last 2 years where everyone came from. Every single mobile device that entered your store, we have an overview of where that came from. And then we take that holistic approach of looking where people went to before and after your store, and then we target those select buildings so that we're not wasting ad dollars on just trying to bombard something that's not gonna give you a return on your investment.
And that's one of the benefits to being with us in our company, working with us, because we do take care with that ad spend and that money. We really do.
We get nervous with people's money. It's a big burden. It's a blessing, but you don't want to mess around with people's money. It's hard-earned money. So we tried to do a lot of homework before we, launch a campaign.
And that's where we got our formula for the success that we've had so far. We came out with a formula. Well, I'm not going to tell everything.
There is an algorithm to what we do. The best way that we can explain it without giving away the secret sauce is a foot traffic study. And that is unique to every single business. And it's those data points that we take to bake the cake for you, to bake the cake for the Williffords. It's baking is very precise. It's not like cooking. It's very precise. So we tried to be as precise as possible, and we tried to be good stewards with your money. And that is one, our major commitment, Barbara and I, to each other, is to be good stewards of the trust that clients give us, because just like everybody else, we're a small business, and every dollar that we have coming in the door for ourselves, we manage, and certainly with your money, we take it even more seriously.
Yeah.
Where are people before? I mean, have you found anything interesting? Like,
yeah,
are they at grocery stores, or like, what's where are people before?
They are at a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
Right. They are
convenience stores.
They're at dollar stores.
ATMs.
That's one of our, that's one of our secrets right there. Think about it. There are a lot of laundromats are still coin cash. Operated.
Yeah.
So people are going to get some cash and then they're going to a laundromat. So we target ATM machines.
Yeah. Can you target how small of a space can you target actually?
We could target a phone booth if they still existed. Our technology is accurate up to a few inches.
Yep.
So it's one of the competitive advantages we have is the technology. We're heavily invested. you know, Barbara was going to spend that money on laundromats. I was like, no, Barbara, you need to spend it with me so we can get this these technologies that are just not, they're being used for larger companies, you know, like the Chipotles of the world.
He just twisted my arm.
Yeah, really. as if I could. So, we heavily invested in technologies so that we can accurately target where we need to target, and so that we can get the intelligence on locations that is necessary to effectively geo-target something. But to give you an idea, you know, I did a foot traffic study on my apartment, and I've lived in the same apartment for 20 years, and it's kind of funny. Did you ever see those news stories about if you put a tracker on your cat?
And what they
like, say? You know, because cats, where do they go when you let them out the door?
Right,
well,
yeah.
Oddly, it turns out that they stay generally within a 3-mile radius. And wouldn't you know, laundromats, that's where your business is as well. It's generally within that 3-mile radius. But I did it in my apartment. I was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. It's like, I was there. So
he didn't even know where he was.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny. I mean, because we are, and I've said this about laundromats a lot, is it's a very like habitual, rhythmic sort of business. And it's just something that's like a part of life and a rhythmic part of life. But a lot of times we're on autopilot when we do that stuff, right? Like we're going to go to the dollar store or the ATM and then the laundromat. And we do that every week. And you know what I mean? And So, I mean, that really does play into this pretty well, I think, actually.
Sure.
I have a confession to make. So I am seeing like the crazy business potential of geofencing, right? Like I see how this could be like incredibly powerful, and I want to keep talking about it because there's more, but I just, my confession is I'm a little more childish than that. And I'm thinking, we can target like a phone booth. That means we can target like my brother's bathroom, and I can run targeted ads to my brother while he's in the bathroom.
While he's in the job. So what would you like to send him?
Well, we're going to have to talk offline about that, but it's going to be a lot of fun. That's all I know. It's not really going to make me any money, but
Barbara and I are both single, and we joked like we could put this dating app together if we wanted. We could, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but we could, so for example, my ex-girlfriend has a hot yoga studio, and I was like, I should just send my pictures into her hot yoga studio every single day.
Gosh, man, this is powerful stuff. I'm just saying, this is powerful stuff. You guys, I don't know, like, do you guys have like a grasp at how powerful you guys could be with this company? This is great.
Oh, guys, not even a limit at this point. Okay. I mean, we're embracing all the technology and always looking ahead to see what else we can bring to our customers. I mean, it's mind blowing.
So another general thing to know about geofencing and like, so people ask, so what's an ad look like? What happens? How do I get this ad? So for years, most people would receive an ad, a display ad. Right, a banner ad at the top, banner ad at the bottom. If you're on a desktop computer or an iPad, it might be in the margins. That is typically how you would get an ad. That's how you would see it. That's how you would consume it. So you're in the King James Bible. You're on ESPN. You're in Telemundo. You're on Breitbart.
Weather app.
Yeah, a weather app. So you're in the app. And the ad is at the top, it's at the bottom, could be in the margin. So that's been the tradition. But what is brand new is that we can run a native ad that's a geofencing ad. A native ad is like if you're reading a news story and it's part of the story. Like as you're scrolling through, I sent you a slide on that. As you're scrolling through a news story, you know, you think you're reading about the debt ceiling, and then all of a sudden, you know, the wash house laundromat ad is like right in the middle. But native is meant to look organic. So no matter what website you're on, it's not obtuse. It's something that feels like it belongs on the page. It feels organic. So that is an exciting development with geofencing. And then as of yesterday, we acquired the capability, no matter what social media you have, we're able to turn that into a geofencing ad. So if you're on TikTok, if you're on Instagram, and you want to reach people and then convert them to a visit, we're able to do that with social media as well.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, that is, I mean, listen, now that we have TikTok capabilities, while my brother's in the bathroom, he's he's out of control. It's done.
Is he a younger brother, older brother?
Yeah. I have two younger brothers, so they're both done for. This is over. Okay, so I mean, that's incredibly powerful stuff, and those are brand new, right? Those are the things that you sent me yesterday.
Right. Yeah, it's a capability unique to us because of our technology. It's not something that you can get. I think I was saying before we started, even if you're at Ogilvy, which is one of the, you know, Ogilvy was, I read his books, and I just think he was like the master of advertising. But even if you're at Ogilvy, you probably wouldn't know that this capability exists. It's because we research so often, and we're using AI to the best of our ability to do, you know, further advancements for geofencing. This is an ability that we acquired just yesterday.
Okay, listen, maybe people haven't told you yet, but laundromats are not on the cutting edge of stuff like this, okay? So if you guys could just back it off a little. That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
So that's the thing. Yeah. You know, a lot of big companies have access to this. You know, the Chipotles of the world are driving visits through a method like this. For Chipotle, they wanted, through COVID, to expand their pickup service, you know, where you go to the drive-up and pick up your food. So this is a technology that they were using, and now pickup is one of their largest verticals for Chipotle. So, yes, laundromat owners and small business owners traditionally didn't have access to these technologies, but it's important to do it, and it's important to price things so that a small business can acquire this capability.
Yeah,
and it's... Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and that was really important to us to try to figure this out for the price point and to really bring in the business and make it worthwhile for them to invest in geofencing and make it affordable.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the benefits of like technology that's developing so quickly, right? It can be super overwhelming to try to keep up with everything. We can talk more about that in a little bit, but one of the benefits is that things become more accessible to smaller businesses, right? And like you said, like if you told somebody even 2 years ago that you would have this capability to be able to do this kind of thing as a small laundromat, you know, or a group of laundromats or whatever, like that would blow your mind. Like, I mean, it's blowing my mind now, like all the things that are happening right now, right? And I love that you guys are dedicated to kind of being on the forefront of that for us and for the industry, because we need more of that. You know, we've been kind of stuck in a rut as an industry for a really long time, and we've kind of been doing the same things and getting the same results. And the people who are breaking out, there's a reason that a lot of the names that you dropped earlier in the episode here are the ones that are killing it, right? It's because they're doing the things that are on the forefront. They're evolving, they're growing, they're building, they're utilizing technology, all of these things, right? And this is a huge part of doing all those things.
Yes, and a lot of them are, you know, generations, so they're just building on what they had, but using the technology today to grow so much more. It's amazing to see it.
Yeah, pretty cool. Okay, going back to it, so we were talking, and we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but we're talking about the hitchhiker effect. Can you talk about that a little bit and what that is?
So the hitchhiker effect is where you walked into a geofence, you were targeted with an ad, and then, you know, you may see the ad on your phone, but then the next thing you know, your mom sees the ad, your dad sees the ad, your two brothers see the ad, but across all the devices in the house. So one of the things that this allows us to do is when we identify one phone, we anonymize it, and then that phone hitchhikes on to all the other devices in the house. So, and as you know, families tend to use laundromats together. They tend to use the same one. So the hitchhiker effect is something we kind of figured out. Like, hey, if we captured one device, why not try to get every device in the house? And that's something that we came up with. And the hitchhiker effect, do you ever watch Jeremy Corbell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so Jeremy Corbell, UAPs, alien technology. Barbara and I are always thinking, like, what's the next level? How can we take this to the next level? And then I heard if you go to Skinwalker Ranch, that, you know, from, are you familiar with Skinwalker Ranch? That's where they see all these UAP, UFO stuff.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, yeah, okay.
If you go to Skinwalker Ranch, a lot of these guys would take, I don't know if they're cursed or whatever, but they take these experiences back home to their families. It's pretty crazy. You should check out, is that The Hunt for Skinwalker or something? One of those documentaries on it, but it's pretty interesting. So that's how I came up with the idea of hitchhiking. Is like, wait, if it's a bad thing for these guys, but we can use, if we can apply it to what we're doing, let's do it. And we have. So
I love that that is how you came up with this idea. This is, yeah. I mean,
it's
that skin, is great.
It's that UAP stuff. All that UFO podcast that I
listen,
I
we're bringing alien technology to laundromats. It's
that's
great.
That's right.
It's great.
See?
Hey, man, that's aliens need laundry too.
Hey, everybody needs clean
it's
clothes.
You gotta keep it clean.
You go through a wormhole, you know, your laundry gets right. dirty. It's
that's
gotta
right.
get done.
Hey. Space travel, you know, you right. gotta, you gotta just, you know, when you travel, you just gotta start clean, start fresh. I like that. All right. Awesome. Well, first of all, yeah, I think that's awesome capability to have, you know, to be able to target sort of the rest of the family and on multiple devices. Again, like just the amount of targeting is super powerful there. And I can, you know, obviously I can see how that can be super effective. It concerns me a little bit about targeting my brother while he's in the bathroom because I don't know then what his wife is going to say. So I need to think about that a little bit more. But
he's like, why do I get wash your hand out all the time?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's weird. So I mean, can we talk a little bit about targeting strategies then? I mean, while you're doing these, you know, you're geofencing, whether it's, you know, competitor or that, you know, Dollar Tree or whatever that's down the mm-hmm. street that you find out that a lot of customers are coming from. As you're targeting them, what are you learning about, like, demographics? Or are you targeting certain demographics? How does that work?
Sure. You know, the Williford's, for example, they have decided to split their ads. So one strategy is in English, and then and there's a bunch of targets that we have, about 100 or so targets for English-speaking customers. But then we have a whole list of targets that we have for Spanish-speaking customers, and the demographic targets are different. It could be, you know, Latinx grocery stores. It could be, you know, they
have different behaviors.
Yeah, different grocery stores or you know, they, I'm Filipino, right? So I'm very particular if I'm going to order some Filipino stuff where I go to do that, right? So if God forbid, you know, you get two Filipino restaurateurs going head to head, you have to kind of figure out where each other's customers go to, you know, before or after coming to one of our restaurants. It's the same with, Latinx or Latino customers that are strictly Spanish speaking. They like I would like to go to stores that would cater to some of the things that I'd like to shop for, right? Have you eaten much Filipino food?
Absolutely.
The pork, you know, one, no one knows this, but lumpia, we have the best egg rolls, right? It's called lumpia. It is the crack cocaine of egg rolls. So, I mean, if Flavor Flav
writing that down
would have
right
ate
now.
This instead of doing all those drugs.
He keeps saying he's going to make them for me, but
that is true. I haven't done it.
Done
I haven't
that
done
yet,
it yet.
So,
so in terms of strategies, you know, you look at a given demographic. I know in Seattle, there is a Pacific Islander population, and sometimes, you know, we've considered running ads specifically in those languages to better serve those people. So we try to do the same in when the client wishes to, we try to offer that capability as well.
Yeah, well, and it's natural, right? Like, we all are just attracted to the things that are similar to us, right? And especially, I mean, if you're speaking my language, like literally or sort of culturally, I mean, it's just gonna speak to me more, right? And it doesn't matter what the culture is; it's going to speak to you more that way. So targeting, you know, with ads that speak people's languages makes all the sense in the world. And like like you were saying, like, I think it's a super powerful tool to not only understand who you're speaking to and to know who you're speaking to and those demographics, but also to be able to specifically target them in a way that speaks to them, that's going to attract them to your business and make them want to do business with you, and also communicate that you care about their language and their culture, even if it's different than your own as an owner,
right.
Which is pretty cool.
You're making me think, you know, one of the other strategies Barbara and I like to do is hiring campaigns.
Oh, the recruitment campaigns.
So
the
recruitment campaigns for laundromats and other businesses. One of the things that we talk about in the ad creatives and on the landing page that we lead them to is the culture. So, you know, if you're going to work for the wash house or you're going to, you're going to work at Best Wash with Brandon and Becky, you know, they're going to educate their employees. They're going to treat them
like family.
They're going to, and they're only looking for the best, right? They're only looking for the best people. And we speak to that on the landing pages. And what we decided to do, Barbara and I, is, you know, we're trying to recruit employees, but we're like, let's see what happens in terms of visitation. We have not run a single campaign for hiring where we didn't get 100 customers in a month to come do their laundry. We're talking about the culture. We're not selling them
family oriented, and they really gravitate towards that. They said, wow, this company, this laundromat is treating their employees so well. I want to go there and support that laundromat. So, and I want to see what's going on. So we've done an amazing job with that.
It was very cool to see that happen. And I'm sorry for Brandon and Becky, they actually didn't get a single employee from the campaign.
But they got a lot of customers.
Becky was like, we didn't get anyone, but we were like, but we sent you 100 customers.
But other campaigns
have
done
cry.
Very well. I
customers.
Mean, Luke and Lee had so many.
They, on the other hand, yes, Luke and Lee did get, we had to stop those campaigns because they
had too many.
They did get plenty of applications.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, Luke, Lee, if you're listening to this, you know, you're taking the wrong step here. Don't stop the campaigns. Open more laundromats to fill all the needs of the employees, okay? Like, let's pick up the pace a little. You guys are slowing it down.
Yeah, got to get moving there a little slow.
An algorithm had with the Williford's, like, all right, if they open up a laundromat, what other business should we put next to their laundromat? So we can, you know, make some money. You know what I mean? So maybe we need to open up an ice cream shop or a gelato place right next to every wash house, you know, or grocery store, you know, something.
Yeah.
We need it on the action. That's what we're trying to say.
All right. We got to figure that one out.
Yeah. Listen, if you're going to piggyback on somebody's business, the Williford's.
You might as well 100%. Be successful.
That's
one,
not
right?
a bad one there. Yeah. Talk about hitchhiker effect.
That's right. The hitchhiker effect.
This is like a physical hitchhiker. I like it. All right. So, okay. Well, first of all, I think that's super creative, you know, the hiring campaign basically. I mean, I love that. And I love that it kind of works on both sides. Well, except for with Brandon and Becky, but you know, in terms of getting customers and hopefully getting employees, for your laundromats, But can we shift gears just a tiny bit? Okay, we talked about geofencing, what it is, some of the strategies that you guys use, and all that. But, okay, so let's say I walk into your geofence here, and I'm a marked man now. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to piggyback that to all of my family and all that. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about, okay, so now what? Like, what are you showing them? What are the, you know, in the business, the ad creatives that you're actually showing them? Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Biggest washers, hottest dryers, in and out, and, you know, Laundry Lab now, their machines get you in and out in 35 minutes if you really want to, you know, sort of dash and do your laundry as quickly as possible. But, you know, we speak to the benefits of the biggest washers, hottest dryers, getting you in and out as quickly as possible. In some cities, we run ads that talk about, you know, the safest or the cleanest. For a lot of the Spanish creatives, because we know that people tend to do laundry together as a family, go to the same place, we talk about, you know, a family atmosphere that might be, you know, in the ad. And then, you know, it's very important, no matter what kind of advertising you're doing, it's important that your ad creative that someone sees on their phone or on their computer matches the promise that they get when they're coming to your website or when they come to the landing page. So what we do to make the whole experience without friction is the ads, the creative message will both match for your ad and for your landing page. But on the landing page, Barbara and I we embed a Google map. So we're literally showing them how to get to your store. And it doesn't matter if you have 30 stores, we built a custom, you know, Google map on each landing page so people can see how close they are to one of your stores.
And if they want to go right then and there, they'll just pop it and get directions.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And, you know, I can't even remember who I talked with this about on one of the previous million podcast episodes, but, you know, we talked about removing friction, right? When you can remove any kind of friction, don't make the customer do any work, make it as easy as possible. So they click on your ad, there's a landing page right there, the map is there, they can just click get directions or see how close they are right there, and then they can, you know, just head right over there. They'll know exactly where you're at. So removing that friction is huge there. Are you showing, what kind of ads are you actually using? Are you using photos? Are you using videos? Are you using, you know, are you dancing on TikTok videos personally for, because,
yeah. I'd watch Barbara, but I wouldn't watch me. So we do a lot of original photography. You know, that's.
It's very important to us. That
core
it's
background. We're not using stock, and if I'm ever tempted to use stock, Barbara yells at me and goes, "Don't be so lazy. You're a real photographer. Get out there and do some. Get out there and do some real work."
Out.
So she kicks me out, makes me pick up my camera. And so we're shooting our own.
I like Barbara a lot. As long as she doesn't start making me do work.
Exactly. Like right. Barbara has an Aunt Barbara, and it's very comedic. Her Aunt Barbara will show up at Barbara's house and make her do work.
She's my storm. I love her.
She comes in. She's like, "Barbara, I don't care that you're a businesswoman, that you have priorities.
I need you to start right now.
I need you to go weed whack." What? I need you to go weed whack. So,
or move something, or maybe fix something on a cell phone.
I don't know.
I just hired an admin, and it was the same thing. We had our first meeting, a new admin, right? We had our first meeting, and I came in with a huge to-do list, and I was like, "Wait, what? What
happened
here?
How did that happen?" How did that happen? I hired you. What do you work for?
That's what I do every time she comes. I'm like, "What?
How did this happen?"
So we pick up a camera. We hire models.
Okay.
It's
weird. I haven't gotten any phone calls for
the model. I won't tell you what the bodies are. But so we actually commandeer Fluff and Fold from Charles Measley, and we shoot a lot of our photo shoots and laundromats, his laundromats. So, So in the creative, they see, this is something that everybody should write down for any kind of ad you do. Faces sell, no matter what. Faces sell products, right? Food, so for example, we do a lot of food photography for the Indigo Hotel, It's a worldwide hotel. You know, we do some food photography for them. When we shoot, it's like, you know, food is lusty. You look at it, you're immediately motivated to figure out how you can stay at the Indigo Hotel, right? Well, for other products, faces are what sell. That's what makes something approachable. You know, doing an ad with clean towels is not enticing. But seeing a friendly face in an ad holding a clean towel or a comforter is enticing, because you're like, oh, that person, you know, they're using this laundromat. They have a friendly face. Maybe that person works there. I like friendly faces, so I want to go there. So I would say, no matter what kind of ads you're doing, whether you're using geofencing or not, it's not as important as, are your ads engaging? Are you including faces of real people, not stock photography? You know, the iPhone 14 Pro Max that we have now, like, you know,
on this, you can do anything with it.
Put in portrait mode, and you know, you're going to get a gorgeous image. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're putting faces in a lot of our ads.
It's very personal, which is awesome.
Yes. And yes, we can do video. We can turn a video into a geofencing ad. So a 15-second, 30-second, 60-second ad can, if someone views it, we can track their device, we can anonymize it, and then we can record a visit when they come in after seeing that ad.
Pretty incredible stuff. Pretty incredible stuff. And, I mean, you know, doing your own photography and, you know, hiring models, or, you know, just the whole faces thing, right? It also is a way to communicate, you know, your business culture, the culture of the community that you're in. All of those things matter, right? And so using original images as opposed to stock images allows you sort of to craft that story or that atmosphere that you're trying to communicate for your business, which is huge, right? Because it will help you relate better to your customers. And, you know, the whole classic, people want to do business with people that they know, like, and trust. And if you're communicating, hey, we care about this community and we care about, you know, the culture of our business and the culture of our community, and you can communicate that through images, the whole, you know, picture's worth a thousand words thing. You know, I'm just throwing all the cliches out there, but it all kind of comes together when you're able to craft the ad creatives exactly the way that you want to, and not necessarily always use boilerplate templates.
Yeah,
which are out there also.
So I sent you a couple slides talking about the rule of thirds. Mm-hmm. So to give you an example, on a phone, when you take your phone like this, it takes someone's photo. Mm-hmm. The rule of thirds is how you compose the subject. So say there's a person right here, and then there's background in two-thirds. That is using the rule of thirds to, instead of putting someone right in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. When you put someone off on the side, in terms of composition, the eye often wanders from corner to corner of the image, and it allows for the viewer to insert themselves in the scene. So, you know, and all you need to do is for someone to tell you that, go out there and start, you know, talking to people. If you see a customer in your laundromat, you think they represent your brand, who you are, who you'd like to you know, to become your customer, whip out your phone, have them sign a release, and you have some content.
Yeah, and first of all, I'll put all the slides that you sent me and stuff, I'll put on the show notes page. So if you're interested in checking out the slides and the things that he's talking about, check them out on the show notes page. And also, a lot of cameras, including your phone probably, I know the iPhones do, probably most of the Androids do too, you can actually overlay the rule of thirds. It looks like a tic-tac-toe pattern, basically, on your phone screen, so that you can actually compose your image using the rule of thirds. And if you just put, you know, the people's eyes in where the intersection of the top two lines intersect, you're going to have the rule of thirds there, and it will greatly improve just the look and feel of your image right there. Super easy, super simple.
Absolutely.
And one thing I would recommend is never use flash. Natural light is more seductive, for lack of a better word. It's natural light is more enticing, and it's more inviting for the viewer, natural light. So try to angle your subject or your model so that natural light is coming from the street or from the window so that their face is naturally illuminated.
Beautiful. I didn't even know that we were going to get like a photography lesson in here. This is great. This is really great.
I mean, I'm passionate about photography. We are both Barbara. Actually, I just did a photo shoot with Barbara. I know, like, your photos, we'll have to send Jordan those photos to put up.
They came out amazing, I have to say. The natural light, oh my gosh, gorgeous.
It was fun.
Yeah. Well, shoot, man. I mean, can you do anything with this? Wow, we can. Yeah. You also would probably need some Photoshop, some heavy Photoshop to make this really good. But
I think we'll need plane tickets to come to California. That's it.
I think so. We could do a thing for...
Yeah, we could be bribed with plane tickets.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Sounds like a vacation. I like it. Okay, so when you're utilizing, or let's just say, you know, somebody's like, okay, I want to try running some ads or whatever, and they use a rule of thirds or whatever. How do you turn just a photo into an ad? How do you make it an ad?
Okay. So one of the most common ad sizes is 300 by 250 pixels. So that's like almost a square. And the most common way to utilize the square is on one half of the square is you have your model in a laundromat. And then on the right hand or the left hand side, you would have your copy. So it could be like, best wash. Biggest washers, hottest dryers, we're right around the block, see location. So we almost never run a text-only ad. There's no point in reading text, you know. You
only have
see,
that few.
Yeah, you only have a few seconds. So
to capture their attention.
You
want to
show as much of the environment or the people there as possible. And then you have your call to action. So the other large format would be 320 by 480, which looks like an 8x10 Instagram ad. An ad like that, again, mostly a face in a laundromat. And then, very little copy, the logo, and see location. It's, as we said before, you want to remove friction, so not too many words. Mm-hmm. Faces sell. A good composed ad with a face will convert more than text.
Yeah. And just so everybody's clear, copy means text or the words on the ad. Yes. So I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Are you guys approaching, or can you talk about how you maybe approach this with different customer groups? Like you have self-serve, wash, dry, fold, pick up and delivery. Are there any nuances to the different types of customers that you're trying to drive to a laundromat?
Sure. When you mentioned the different verticals, wash, dry, fold, pick up and delivery, self-serve, that kind of ad that will convert a self-serve customer is not the kind of ad that a pickup and delivery customer would respond to.
Very different.
So anyone can pretty much be a target for pickup and delivery and wash, dry, fold. So it's important what ad inventory you use. So for example, we were talking about the capability now that we can geofence any social media post, right? We can use any kind of social media post to reach someone. A social media geofencing ad for pickup and delivery will be more effective than a display ad, because unfortunately, display ads really target people who are heavy phone users, and whereas a social media post, it's a different personality, different mindset, and you need to take up more real estate to get their attention. They're not going to respond to, a margin, a display ad on a margin. So we do put different strategies together, depending on who the desired audience is. And more and more operators are getting into wash, dry, fold and pick up and delivery. And I personally believe that geofencing could be so effective for pickup and delivery, because if Barbara is, you know, going to use Fluff and Fold to pick up her laundry, it's, and we can then start targeting all of Barbara's neighbors. So if we want to keep your Aunt Barbara busy.
Well, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
We probably send Aunt Barbara a wash, dry, fold so to get her out of the house. Get her out of the house, to get her out of the neighborhood. Whereas for you, we would target you with pickup and delivery and all your neighbors. So we would target Barbara with a pickup and delivery ad. And then along the route for economic purposes, you know, again, reducing friction, making us as business owners, making our job easier, it's better to grab her neighbors too, right? Instead of having your route that takes you all over the place. Geofencing for pickup and delivery can be so effective because we can target the neighbors of your existing customers.
And make that route fuller.
Yeah, which is huge, right? Because I think a lot of the struggle of pickup and delivery is if you end up spread out all over the place, then you've got the cost, obviously, of having somebody.
A lot higher.
Yeah, to drive around everywhere and, you know, gas and all that stuff. But also, you know, just the time it takes, right? When you're all spread out everywhere. So clustering your customers together is huge. And I'm also, like, as you were talking, I was like, holy cow. It's like, I was thinking, as we were talking earlier, we were talking about, like, the dollar store and all that stuff. Like, the foot traffic study could be huge with pickup and delivery, because if you know, like, hey, these customers are all going to Whole Foods, you know, beforehand, well, bam, you know, like, pickup and delivery customers
are
holy cow, man, like, right? So I think the power of that foot traffic study, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just thinking, you know, my marketing mind is just thinking, the power of that foot traffic study actually is probably much larger with something like pickup and delivery than even self-serve, which is pretty incredible, I think.
Yeah, you want to know where people are going and
their habits.
That information important. You could draw a lot of inferences from. You know, you can draw a lot of conclusions from. And you can tell a consumer's affinity for a certain service based on where they go.
Yeah.
And this is where we both shine, because we were in the medical industry and we love data. So the more data we get, the more creative we get with it.
Yeah.
I think you guys are really just like missing the boat on this industry, because we don't deal with data. I'm just kidding. I love that, right? Like being on the cutting edge of stuff, utilizing data to make decisions and to target, you know, your marketing, all that. Like, I just think our industry is starving for that, and probably most of us don't even know it, right? Like, we don't even know what we're missing out on. And just like the power of, you know, this kind of capability for a business like laundromats is, I don't know, I think it's just game changing in my view.
Yeah. The laundromat customer tends to be a renter, right? And at least nationwide, you know, the majority of people who would use a self-serve laundry, they're renters. So we spent a lot of time looking at, you know, where renters live. Foot traffic studies are helpful in that. You know, identifying, hey, we get 8 customers or 20 customers a month from this one apartment complex. We need to send more ads into that complex. So that is one of the benefits of having the foot traffic studies, is that we can see where people are coming from. We could see where people are not coming from, which is also just as important. You know, if Barbara and I owned a laundromat on Main Street and no one from Main Street, none of those apartments, are, you know, no one's coming from there, then we know we have a problem. And we need to take that foot traffic study and really, you know, look at where we're lacking and, you know, apply some TLC there, and we need to see where we're strong and spend more assets there as well to make the most out of that information.
And renters, they're there from 1 to 3 years. So you always have to target those areas.
Yes.
Because they're always moving.
A lot of turnover.
Yes, there. A lot of turnover.
Yeah. You know, it'd be interesting. I don't know about the legalities of this or anything, but if you had customers that were in, like, say, a big complex, it's got like 100 units or something like that, right? And you got a customer in there. It'd be really interesting to like offer one of those customers like, hey, you know, we'll give you $100 of laundry on our laundry cart or whatever to be a model for us for an ad, and make an ad with somebody in this complex that basically just says, hey, you know, I'm your neighbor and I do my laundry over here, you know, whatever, yeah. Like, cause you know, cause there's a lot of trust that's built that you got to make sure it's the right neighbor, you know,
right. Right.
Like that annoying
you're
person that nobody likes.
Right.
Like, maybe there's too much risk with that.
I'm not going there.
Yeah. Yeah. That could backfire on you. Okay. So maybe that's not a great idea, but I just thinking that that'd be really interesting because you could get really personal, right. With being able to geo target like that, which would be kind of interesting.
Well, Charles Measley, you know, from Fluff and Fold, he has asked us to customize some ads for specific apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. So that's something that he had thought of quite a while ago.
You know, I know Charles, and he's never been on the podcast. So I think, Charles, you need to be on the podcast. So I'm going to reach out to you after we get off of this.
Yeah, Charles is good. Not only, you know, did he build with his family – you know, two self-serve laundromats, but he does quite a lot of pickup and delivery with his business, and he owns with two of our buddies, Suds Digital. So he has his own agency, and unlike most people that run an agency, he actually went to school for marketing. So
right.
Thus, yeah. He ran my political campaign, and I've never threatened to kill someone so many times in my life.
Edit that. No.
Well, if Charles ends up not coming on the podcast, it's probably because he's dead. I don't know.
We don't know where he is.
Yeah, I mean, missing.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So Charles actually has a really good, strong background in marketing, and you know, they do websites and social, and you know, we're friends. We consider them, well, he's like family, so.
Yeah, awesome.
So we think Charles is great.
Awesome. Charles, you're a marked man, not for death, but for coming on the podcast, and maybe a little bit for death. Right. I have a note in one of our emails that just says we need to talk about the weather. So why do we need to talk about weather in this conversation? I mean, I hear it's nicer weather there than here now.
Oh, today, right? Finally. We're on the Jersey Shore, Barbara and I. And,
it's a beautiful day. The sun is just shining today. We really had a nice Memorial Day weekend. We don't have too many of them lately down the shore in the last couple of years. So this was really a blessing.
And we're not envious at all that you're in sunny California.
Yeah. No, not today,
not
anyway.
It's not sunny today. What's going on here? I'm like, when's summer going to get here? But is that what we need to talk about weather-wise?
In some parts of the country, they have dynamic changes in weather. And what's wonderful about that is, so for example, we've had great success running rainy day ads. Our ad creative is a window pane with water going down the window pane. And it says, don't waste the day. Come do laundry at Fluff and Fold or whatever client we're running that for. But it's a great, it's a fun creative. You know, it shows, you know, a wet glass window pane. And then we run ads when it's really sunny out. Best wash, last summer we did a pool. So it was a pair of flip-flops on the ground next to sunglasses next to the pool. So
it
got a lot of visits, and we ran it because laundromats, if, you know, at least at Best Wash, they're all immaculate, you know, their AC is kicking in the summer. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be cooler at the laundromat than it is at the pool, and that's kind of the ad campaign that we ran. And ad-based creatives and ad-based campaigns could be highly affected. In fact, those ads are only triggered when it rains, or it's only triggered during a heat wave. So it's being nimble with your ads and being precise, you know, precise messages to particular audiences that you want to reach is effective. And then weather-based, you know, people are very affected by the weather, especially when it rains. So why not give them something positive to do? Come by, you know, get all your laundry done. Don't waste the day. Don't stay home depressed. You know, come to Fluff and Fold. We'll be happy to see you. So running those responsive ads based on the weather, we found has been very effective.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, wouldn't normally even think about, right? To run an ad specifically because it's rainy or humid outside. I don't know. Whenever I go to the East Coast, I'm always like, where's the nearest air conditioner?
So yeah, humid out here. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's super clever, and I could see how that could be super effective, actually.
We really take our time with researching the demographics in the areas with the weather of all our laundromats, where they are. Because we live in the East Coast, so we want to learn about their environment and what they go through, whether they have more rain in areas versus not. And that's why it's so important when you're looking at a geofencing company that they don't outsource your work, because this is what Ernesto and I do. We go into the trenches and we're really analyzing everything and seeing what's the best tactics for our customers, our laundromat owners. And it's very important, because if you're not in the trenches and you're outsourcing it, you're not going to get the same results and the same care, because we really do care about our customers.
Yeah, and that comes through. Okay, so you guys are very digital, obviously. Mm-hmm. Is that the way to go? I mean, is that the only, you know, should we focus all on digital advertising platforms? And maybe you're biased, maybe you're the wrong person to ask, but I'm just curious, is there any value in doing offline marketing still for laundromats?
Barbara and I do it for ourselves.
Yeah, we do both.
We have plenty of print assets. There's a laundromat chain that we want to go after, and we want to bypass their corporate, and we're going right to them with print. So we're going to be putting palm cards right in their hands, letting them know, like, hey, we're going to put the power of geofencing in your hands, and don't take everything from your franchisor, or whatever they call them. But we do prints all the time. Barbara and I, one tactic you could do is Every Door Direct.
And we've done that.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yep. So
what is that? Tell us what that is, Every Door Direct.
So Every Door Direct you could do through your post office, and you can print up assets and have them delivered to every home in a zip code. Or in particular, if you only want to do a particular neighborhood, you'd have to go to that post office. But yes, they could send a piece of mail, whether it's a palm card or a postcard, for your laundromat, and it's delivered right in their mailbox. So you could put a QR code on there if you want to measure, digitally measure the conversion. But mail is, and print assets are very, very useful. And just because it's a laundromat doesn't mean that, you know, you can't put your, even if you're doing it yourself, that you can't put your best foot forward, take great photos, send it off to Canva. Canva will help you, you know, put that asset together because they have templates, have it printed up, and then mail it. Just because we're in laundry doesn't mean that we can't have nice things, you know?
And I think the combination.
I'm going to write that down, by the way. Just because we're in laundry doesn't mean we can't have nice things.
That's right, of course. You know, you're not trying to be glamorous. You're just trying to put your best, you're trying to represent yourself as best you can with really good media assets to the public. And a piece of mail with, you know, some photos on there of happy faces and, you know, that are.
And it's tangible too, because you're holding it in your hand, you know, and it's not every day that you're doing that anymore. I mean,
right.
Even with mail, it's like everything's to your email address, which is a blessing. But, you know, the communication is nice. I still like old school. I like video chatting or just having a conversation between us. We meet a couple times a week, you know, discussing what our next steps were going to be, how we're going to market or what we're going to do for our clients. It's important.
The
I love. Making, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
You're making me think. You know, when I look at mail that I get, right, and I see, like, the cable company sends an ad or Verizon sends an ad, I throw it out. But when something like, you know, a place down the street sends something nice, whether it's a restaurant or, you know, say in this case, you know, we're talking about laundromats, when you get a piece of mail of something local, it's a lot different than getting a piece of mail from, you know, a big conglomerate or from, you know, it's more, it's the more personal you make it, the more life that that piece of mail or a digital ad is going to be top of mind. So that's why we always continually say faces sell. A face will stay top of mind. A piece of mail nicely done from your local laundromat is not going to hit the garbage as fast as a Verizon ad.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're targeting my wife, if you throw a little coupon or discount or something on there, you got much better likelihood. If that won't work on me because I don't care about that. But my wife loves a good
She's
deal.
She's a smart shopper.
She is a smart shopper. I'm a horrible shopper. Yeah. All right, I got another question for you because, listen, I've been saying something for a while, and I've gotten a lot of pushback, and I want your take on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest, I guess two, but they're related, the biggest underutilized marketing strategies that will work is email and text marketing. But I've gotten a lot of pushback from that. Can you tell me if I'm off my hinges or...
You are 100% spot on, and I'll tell you why. You should never be giving away your Wi-Fi for free, right?
Oh, you're going to tell them about that?
Yes, never give away your Wi-Fi for free. What you need
to
do...
This is something we came up with.
...is you need to offer an opt-in. So if you're going to use our Wi-Fi, you're going to opt-in, you're going to give me your name, your email, and then you can remarket them. Same thing with text. You know, at your point of sale, you could be taking... You know, they could be opting in to text messages, and they have a 90-some-odd% open rate. The key is managing those contacts, managing that data.
Your data, very important data.
And it's one of the few ways that you can actually control. So if you do, say you've been running Facebook-centric, Facebook-specific campaigns, you don't own that relationship. Meta owns that relationship. So if you're in your laundromat offering Wi-Fi, you're having the customer opt in to use it. That's a one-to-one relationship that's invaluable. Same with text. The key is how you're going to manage that data after you have it, and then not abusing it. Finding a tempo for sending out those emails and finding the tempo to send out those texts should be in a way that is not obtrusive. So coming up with that rhythm, we get from Waleed once a week. That's a great rhythm. Waleed Cope sends out his newsletter once a week.
Really, it's nice newsletter.
Usually on Sundays, and it's a good tempo. For text messaging, you know, I would use it for if, God forbid, something happened at the laundromat, like there was a fire or something like that, and you're going to be closed for a holiday. It's useful for that. And if you're running, you know, the Williford's do their double your money campaigns. If you're going to do something like that, so.
But that you should be sparingly with it. That's right. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. For one. You know, just for confirming that. Yeah, thank you. I do think that those are super underutilized, and especially email. I think more people are on board with the text messaging thing, although I think that's a little bit trickier to do because, like you said, there's a 90% open rate, and people, I think, have a pretty low tolerance for, you know, the text messages that they get if it starts to feel like spam. So that's a little trickier in my view to do it, but I think it can be super effective, super powerful. But even email, which I know a lot of people feel like is an old school method, a dinosaur method, it's still effective. It still works, and it still translates to real dollars today.
Email campaigns, so yeah, they're effective.
For you know, for wash, dry, fold, and for pickup and delivery, email campaigns can be effective. for self-serve, just
not so much.
I think it's a different mindset that each consumer has. Wash, dry, fold, and pick up and delivery require a little bit more trust. If I'm staying, I don't know, in Florida for a week, and you know, I need a, and I see an ad to go do my laundry. Yeah, I would convert. I would go use a laundromat that, you know, that would look clean. You know, as we expect in the industry, a well-run ship. On the other hand, you know, so I would respond to an ad, right? I would convert and go to a place, but for wash, dry, fold, it's a little more personal, and for pickup and delivery, you're coming to my house. So for that, if I received an email, you're able to build a little bit deeper trust, longer form in an email than you can in a conventional ad. So I think email is a stronger way to convert than say something, another kind of tactic.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you think about it, you're paying, you know, this advertising, you know, you're paying to get in front of customers and potential customers to get them to try you out and to get them to keep coming back. And when you own access to them without, you know, a mediator,
between.
Yeah. Right. Then you, it's just a, very powerful. Now, it can take a long time to build up your email list or your text messaging list. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that you can do to build that up. But once you have earned the right to have that information from your customers, can be super powerful. And like you said, it's at that point, it's converting a warm lead, not a cold lead, like an ad might be a cold lead. Although geofencing really helps whittle down the cold leads and hone in on, I'd say, warm and even hot leads a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So,
right, because location is indicative of future behavior. So, you know, if you're a divorce attorney and you want to find customers through geofencing, we'd hit bars and strip clubs. We're in laundry, so targeting other laundromats is indicative that you're going to come to our laundromat if we offer you a better enticement. You could also use geofencing to build an email list by offering some sort of incentive when they get to your landing page. You know, a lot of laundromats offer three services. It's self-serve, wash, dry, fold, pickup, and delivery. So if you're going to use one campaign to reach all three, at least on the landing page, provide some opportunity for them to opt into your email list to receive some other incentives. Whether it's a percentage off or, you know, whatever kind of campaign you wanted to run. But it is important to own the relationship with your customer as best you can. And text message and emails should not be discarded. It should be part of your comprehensive marketing plan.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so whenever marketing gets brought up on the podcast, the two things that come up are Google and Facebook. Now, obviously, I mean, there's no denying they can be powerful ways to market. Are those our only options? I mean, we've talked about some like offline stuff and text messaging and emails, but should we be focusing mostly on Google and Facebook? Do we have other options? What's your take on that?
I mean, in a perfect environment, yeah, you don't want to skip stuff like Google or Facebook. Barbara and I, you know, we have a Google business profile. We have, we utilize our personal Facebooks and Instagrams because we have, you know, large followings. I have 40 some odd thousand on Instagram and 5,000 on Facebook and another 5,000, I think, on LinkedIn. So, you know, we utilize those other universes. But I would say, in terms of cost effectiveness, the Google universe is more, it's certainly a head-to-head comparison of if you're going to do geofencing campaigns or Google, I would say you should probably do both. But if you're going to have to choose one or the other, you're going to get more bang for buck through geofencing, specifically because the universe is not as expensive as the Google universe. You're going... that those ads that we're running, we publish on over it's probably almost 200,000 websites and apps, the publishing universe that Barbara and I have. It's out of the Google universe, so therefore it's less competitive, and geofencing is far more personalized than Google. While Google and Facebook will allow you to run ads in a certain geography, it doesn't actually allow you to get surgically precise and send ads into a building. So you're able to create your own niche universe with geofencing, whereas while yes, you should run Google and yes, you should run Facebook, I think it's best bang for buck inside the geofencing universe.
Awesome. I have one more main question that I can think of off the top of my head, and then I want to make sure I'm going to throw it to you after that and make sure we hit everything that you wanted to hit. But my question is, and I'm not going to ask you pricing, and the main reason is not because I don't want you to share your pricing or some kind of secret, but because this podcast episode will live for a long time, and like we said, everything changes. All the time. So, I will ask you after this question where you can send people to go find out more about you guys and how to get started with you guys if that's something that people are interested in. But I want to ask a pricing related question, which is, at what point should laundromat owners be considering this? Let's say I own one small laundromat. Does it make sense for me to run geofencing ads, or do I need to own a big laundromat, or do I need to own multiple laundromats? Can you help kind of give some guidance on when is it a good time to start looking into this as a laundromat owner?
One of my favorite customers, she sold her laundromat. Her name is Stacy Runfalo. She's, did you ever meet Stacy?
Oh yeah.
She's, yeah. So she had a few, but one of them was the smallest laundromat on earth. And it was right next to a 7-Eleven.
And it didn't have air conditioning.
She had, it's like a cool garage door open, right? And it was an open air laundromat. And it was tiny. She geofenced for that location. And, wasn't this giant, 5,000 square foot operation. It maybe was 800 square feet. It was tiny. We do a lot of openings. So for example, we just did Star Laundromats in Staten Island. We send him 90 customers a month
for three months
straight. So
to start, that's great.
He put a new sign and a new logo. He painted. He opened the doors, and boom, it was gangbusters.
Great way to start an opening, right?
We opened Laundry Lab.
In Tampa,
day one,
yes.
50 customers a month, each month for the first 90 days. And it builds on after that.
Because you know you're compounding those customers because they're staying if you keep them.
Yes.
With your culture and how you treat them. So it really makes a big difference in your bank account.
Start early, though, I would say. Yeah.
Definitely start early, even when you just open. No, it's a little rough sometimes with that, but it will bring in the customers.
Go ahead. I was just talking to my friend who opened up a coffee shop, and she put the best machines in, and she repainted, and she did her hiring. She didn't budget for advertising and marketing, and you really won't grow as fast. I'm not saying do geofencing, right? I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm saying you have to
market
and advertise. It's just, you have to do it. And if you want people to keep coming in, it's something you have to do. But also, Burger King and McDonald's, they're advertising every day because they don't take the relationship with you and me for granted. Part of it is making the effort, making the extension to reach out to people in your community to keep a touch on that client, that customer.
You have to. How many touches for you to get a customer, right? You have to touch them in all different ways. And if you keep touching them, they're going to keep coming back.
You're going to make me laugh.
I'm not mature enough for this conversation.
There's a lot of touching going on over here.
I'm just not mature enough for this conversation.
I can't do it. Sorry. I can't.
You were looking very professional there for a second.
She's cracking me up, though, with all this touching over here. I can't. I can't take it. But, you know, you have to budget for marketing and advertising. Every business demands it. Every marketplace demands it. We happen to love geofencing. And so Caleri Media is a full-service ad agency. Caleri and Wardell, Barbara and I are focused on laundromats only. And we did that, and we're geofencing specific because we believe that we can serve the most people in the most impactful way by mastering this technology, by being light years ahead of any even major agencies, that they're not spending the kind of focus and the resources that we are on one specific skill. So our specific skill set is how do we grow a laundromat with what is the most disruptive technology outside of AI? Geofencing is the most disruptive technology there is for a retail location that lives on people coming through the door. And Barbara and I were committed to our company to make sure that for until we retire or sell, you know, 20 years from now, that we maintain that we are the most disruptive company that does geofencing.
Yeah, which also, and kind of to your point, like when I first bought my first laundromat, I mean, basically the distributor told me, hey, we're going to put all new equipment in here. We're going to do a total remodel. And you don't have to do marketing in this industry. You don't have to do marketing in this business. And they sort of had the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. So that's what I did. And I will tell you that I did get customers that just came. Once kind of word got out, and the business did grow kind of organically, but it not nearly as many as I needed, and not nearly enough to even get me to break even for a really long time. It was just very slow growth that way, and in fact, it sort of compounded on itself in my case because he told me I didn't need to advertise, so I didn't, and. Because the growth was so slow, I was losing money. I actually got into this mindset where I was like, well, now I can't advertise because I'm losing money. And it was just scary, right? And it was not the right decision, obviously, but it was scary because I'm losing money and now I have to put more money out there. And I didn't exactly know what to do or how to do it. And I didn't know if it was actually going to return me more customers and recoup my money or if I was just putting even more money out there. And so I got scared and that caused me to, clam up, shell up. And, it was just this compounding thing that was, it was bad. It was just a bad situation. Right. And I firmly believe now, I mean, it's a big part of the reason why you're on this podcast right now. I firmly believe that you do need to market in this industry, and more so now, even than when I bought my laundromat almost a decade ago now, it's even more important now. And if you're not marketing, it's time to start venturing into that, because you don't want to be tomorrow's zombie mat. So
how did you meet your wife?
We met in college. She basically, hit on me and like, okay. I'm just kidding. We met in a college class.
You met in a college class? And yeah. Is it fair to say that you spoke up and said something to her first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, so, she noticed me first, I'm pretty sure, because, look at...
I mean, handsome guy, right?
Come on. I'm just kidding.
So in every relationship that we have, I met Barbara at a party. She was hanging out with these people. I was like, stop talking to these losers. Talk to me.
Let me say something. He had a whole face full of makeup.
Wait, you're making it sound like one of those parties. It was a Halloween party. It was a Halloween party. She's making it sound like I wear lipstick every day. What if I do? But I don't, for the record. And, I had to go up to her. I had to introduce myself. I said, hey, give me your phone. That's what I did.
Yeah, he friended me on Facebook. I friended myself. And then accepted it. In that 2 seconds, he had my
just give me your
genius. I was like, really?
Genius. So the important thing is that, you know, you had to make the effort to meet your wife. Mm-hmm. I had to make the effort to meet Barbara, to introduce myself. And we can't take any relationship that we have for granted, especially spouses or with your customers. So you have to always, we have to always be asking for business. We have to always be asking to maintain that relationship with them and that trust. One of the things that we always do, our satellite provider said, why do you have your own businesses as targets? I go, are you kidding me? Like, that is advertising 101. Don't take the relationship that you have with your customers for granted. So we always remarket our own laundromats. We're always re-asking them for the business and keeping that relationship.
And you want that in the forefront of their brain and right in front of them saying, hey, you know what? You didn't do your laundry like last week. Let's go.
It's like you sending ads to your brother. Wash those hands, bro.
That's right, man.
You know you gotta
stay front of mind, top
gotta
of mind.
Gotta stay clean here.
That's right.
But you get first. Caught up in your day and you forget things and then you're running around and you always have to be, you know, in the forefront of something. So why not be able to use your businesses in the forefront of your customers? Just because they're in your parking lot doesn't mean they're coming to see you.
That is very true. We had a customer say to me and Barbara, they're like, why are you targeting the store adjacent to mine? They're already coming here. And I was like, this guy doesn't know anything about advertising. I mean, no,
that
we don't take,
mean that.
We don't, you can't take it for granted that you have a busy dollar store next to you. You can't take it for granted that
you have an
apartment building
behind you that they're all coming to you.
Right. You have to ask for the business. If you don't, I promise you, when I'm working for the competitor, we will be asking for the business. We're always asking for the business. Because we don't take any relationship, not our own relationships, and not our relationships with our customers. We don't take it for granted.
And that's another thing that we do. We offer exclusivity. So when we're working for a laundromat, we do not take the business of their competitor. We actually focus on our actual customer. And one of those reasons is because we want to keep our customers. Not only do we want to keep them, but we also want to show loyalty.
Yes. So we have exclusivity to whoever we're working with. It means we can't make as much money, but you know, it's the right way to do it. It's the right way.
Yeah. And that's something that we, you know, we agree to in the forefront of this whole concept.
Not when I first stole her phone, but shortly after that.
We didn't know we were going to be in business together now, did we?
That's true.
Yeah. I keep my phone away from him now, just to let
that's
you know.
That's right. Yeah. Keep it locked.
A smart man doesn't touch another woman. It doesn't touch a woman's phone anyway. So
yeah, that's right.
Don't mess with her pocketbook and don't mess with her phone.
That's right. No, absolutely. It's the phone now. I just did a speaking engagement for about 50 women, and we were doing it on geofencing and what we could do for them. And you know what? You did a survey. Are they picking up their phone or their purse? You know what it was? Their phone. They would have left the purse.
It's crazy, right?
It tells you
20 years ago would not have been the case.
No, not even close. Yeah. I mean, it's not surprising. Nowadays, I mean, because our lives are on our phones, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, we spend more time in our face in the phones than anything. You see your reports. You know how many hours you spend on social media and on your phones. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Captive audience.
Yeah, and I appreciate you guys saying that too. And like you said, you know, you might be passing up on some money potentially by offering sort of that exclusivity, but in an industry where right now, actually that's a pretty hot topic as we're seeing manufacturers and distributors throw up stores next to our stores. And, you know, that's a real thing that we're dealing with right now in the industry that I am not happy about, by the way. But you know, to hear you guys come out and say, hey, look, you know, we're not going to throw up shop right next to you and compete with you or, you know, have your competitor compete with you. We're going to offer that exclusivity. is a big deal. And going back to, people want to do business with people they know, like, and trust. I mean, that trust goes a long way when you say, hey, you know, you can sign on with us and be confident that, you know, we're not going to put you out of business by working with your competitor exactly. next door too. So, I'm going to ask you how people can get in contact with you if they're interested in hearing more about what you guys do, how you do it, and what it'll cost them. But before I do that, is there anything else that we need to chat about, talk about before we wrap this thing up?
I don't think so.
I think we pretty much...
We covered a lot of ground. Covered a lot of ground.
A lot of ground. I think we did.
And I appreciate you guys taking the time, coming on, putting together an incredible podcasting studio, putting mine to shame. I'm going to have to up my game now.
See? I got to keep you on your toes.
We're like, if we go on Jordan's show, we got to look good. So I brushed my teeth today.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, usually I look like a homeless person. Yeah. But
no, we were very appreciative that, you know, you wanted to get in contact with us and...
Yeah, it's an honor. We appreciate it. To find us, it's cwadagency.com.
Awesome. And I will have the that contact information. I mean, easy to remember, but I'll have it in the show notes too. So you can just click it if you're wanting to find out more information. Guys, you guys not only looked incredible, but you also were incredible. Lots of incredible stuff that you guys shared. Really, really appreciate you guys coming on and taking the time to educate us about geofencing, which on the one hand is really, really exciting. And on the other hand, can be super overwhelming. So I'm appreciative for people like you guys that come out and give small businesses like laundromats the capability to do, you know, these powerful marketing things that will help us grow our businesses, because that's what it's all about, right?
Absolutely. Growing business in an economy that is not cooperating. And we're doing it.
That's right. That's a nice way to say it. The economy is not cooperating.
That's right. We don't care about that. We're making it happen.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys and look forward. I mean, listen, surefire way to get back on this thing is to compliment me. And there were enough compliments in here. I'm sure we'll have you back.
Barbara
on
was
again.
Thinking like, oh, Jordan's got nice eyes. Yeah. I think as a guy who wears makeup, I should feel comfortable saying it as well. So for the record, I was the scarecrow for Halloween, which is why I had all that makeup on.
Okay. So, all right. Well, you'll have to send me a picture and I'll throw it in the show notes so we can all be the judge of how good of a scarecrow you were.
See that?
Hilarious. So, you guys offer packages, don't you? For membership we'd be happy to explore, you know, offering some discounts to your people or something.
Awesome. Yeah. Love that. And we'll talk about what that is. And you know what? Let's talk about that. And then when I do the intro to this show, I'll mention that there and throw some links there. Awesome.
All right. Great. Awesome. Thank you, Jordan.
Guys, you guys rock. Appreciate you so much. And look forward to the next time.
Yes, absolutely. Appreciate it. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you.
Hope you loved that interview with Ernesto and Barbara. So much good stuff in there. As always, pick one thing that you can take away and put into action. I mean, there's so much in this episode. The one thing, though, that I'm going to try to take away is that faces sell, right? So include faces in the things, your marketing, in your advertising, in your social posts. Include faces. People like faces. And so I'm going to include more faces in my stuff. So what's your takeaway? Go share it on laundromatresource.com/forums. Make sure you join the live Q&A July 20th, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. And you can check out signups for that at laundromatresource.com/events. And if you're interested in working with them, make sure you join the pro community to get $300 off your initial service with them. All right, cool. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you got a lot of good stuff out of that. And we'll see you on the next episode. Peace.